It's a performance I made, I think it's maybe 2 years.
Radio Patapoe komt naar jou toe met onze uitzendkracht. De sterke zender zorgt voor werkgelegenheid. Radio Patapoe collecteert ook voor de kinderbestrijding. Geef gul. Uw geld komt heel goed terecht. Patapoe doet het niet alleen, maar belooft het ook. Onze uitzendingen zijn tevens heilig verklaard. Vraag het de paus. Prins Alexander zag ik laatst met een ander. Ik zweer het u.
En dat is beloofd.
Years ago. And it's a physical dance show. So I call it a show because that was my initial intention when I made the piece, was to entertain and work with like a very physical body language. It's a piece that works a lot with the gaze and with the connection to the audience. So moving close to them and staring them down somehow.
One of the things that's mentioned in the program, I've looked up some of your performances, as we also had a little text about what it is. And it also talks about being, it doesn't say aggression, but I can feel that there's something confrontational about it. Is that what you're thinking about, getting close to people?
I think, yeah, the word in Danish and also Norwegian that I use is grensesøkende. And I think the way I use it or see it in this piece is, yes, getting close to the audience and looking at them. But also the physical language is quite intense. And I think for some it could be viewed as quite sexual, actually. And for them, for many, that would be grenze overskridende. For me, it's actually just like testing where the boundary goes, more than pushing it. So that's grensesøkende and not overskridende. And also because I come from, like, I studied dance in a contemporary dance school, and there's a, not that there are many rules, but there are always rules within an education and within like a dance, contemporary dance styles and everything. And I think I was quite bored with what I saw around me, and that was kind of what I tried to challenge also by producing this kinds of show.
So you are trying to make your own new language, looking for boundaries or looking for the boundaries of the audience.
Yeah, by also delving into taught physical language, like studied dances, but also from more personal background, like where I come from and what cultural background I have, and kind of studying the power of folk dance also a lot, and delving into club dancing and kind of merging these two. Yeah, so that was a big starting point of this show.
What do you think it does to the audience? What is the audience's reaction when you make a kind of dance show that is getting close to the audience and looking directly at them, or having this kind of intensity you're talking about in the dance that might even be sexual or physical, bodily?
So far, I think most of the people I've, of course, talked to have enjoyed it, because it's a different way of viewing dance, not just sitting watching and not being looked at. But here it's like, you're not directly performing as an audience, but you are being looked at, which means that everyone around is looking at you also and not just looking at me. So it's really playing with the power of the gaze, like, where am I directing people to look?
This is something we spoke a little bit about, some of the performances you were performing here last year, I think, in a performance. And I experienced those dance performances, and that's actually maybe something I recognize as well, that the dancers would get very close to me as a viewer. And I feel then kind of exposed, because suddenly it's like, yes, there's the gaze there. They're looking at you because they follow the dancer and they get close to you. How is your experience of performing in a festival? What do you think is different, or what do you think will be the experience?
I don't have a lot of experience performing at festivals. I did it last year. It was a good experience. I experienced the crowd being welcoming and nice. Like, they were quite calm. And I also, we had a small chat before where I mentioned that I've been a bit nervous this year because I'm alone on stage. And it's late, and I know people are quite drunk, so it's really, you don't really know if people are gonna test my boundaries. I don't know if they feel welcome to dance with, or if they're gonna just actually experience by looking. So my experience so far, I can come back to you after tonight and tell you.
Yes, absolutely. Of course, it's really nice to hear your point of view of the performer. It is. I think it's a really interesting place for performance because it's this kind of drop-in thing. You don't have the same as if you're performing in most other venues where you have this venue and a time and so on. I know there's a time, but for many people, they just come by and see it.
Exactly. If it's in a theater, you know people have looked at the program. It's you, probably only you or two others. I don't know if there's like a bigger lineup. And then they come there because of the intention to watch a dance show. Here it's like the audience is so wide. You don't know exactly who's going to drop in, which is a really, really cool experience. So I'm very thrilled to actually like to be performing with a dance show.
Maybe it's a bit like a street performance, just the street here is a little bit of an unusual street because it's full of people who are here only for the reason of performance. And do you have a relationship to the music you could talk about? I noticed that one of the things that you've written about for this performance also that it has techno music.
It's a British producer that I work with. My relationship, it's quite easy. I love the music, so I dance with the music. It's very rhythmical, so I've been scoring my choreography and my dance in the way that I dance with, and sometimes I go against. It's quite like a simple score in that sense. But then the complicated part is like how I choose to do what and when. But it's mostly the intention to actually dance with it. And that's how people also do it when they go out. So that was kind of my translation of it. I wanted to produce a piece that was recognizable for people. So music and dancing. You hear the sound, you want to move. So it was quite like a generous way of entering.
Because club culture and that kind of dancing is something we all know to some extent and you feel you want to participate.
Yeah, social dancing. So that's how I started with Balkan folk dance. That was my my initial points, and club dancing, social dancing. I was just looking at all these ways of people coming together, dancing to music. And then I looked into club dancing because it's something I also know. I like to go out. I like to dance. Folk dance is something I've done a lot in my childhood. It's a big part of my culture and where I come from. I'm from Kosovo, by the way. So it just felt very natural as my first piece to make something that was quite personal and recognizable in the sense of social dancing.
What will you do if people start to participate tonight?
I hope they start in the last 5 minutes.
So you get a bit of time to do your thing before it turns into another club night in Roskilde. It's great to hear you put these words into it because when I view dance and I love watching dance, but I don't have the same vocabulary for it at all. It's really interesting to hear you this entry point into what dancing can do. Maybe that's an obvious question, but do you think the dance can add something to a festival that's kind of important or give it another dimension? Also thinking about you saying you're pushing boundaries. It's a different thing. Maybe it's a little bit difficult also at times. What do you think dance can do in this setting?
I mean, music is something everybody knows. And this is what the festival is about, right? You come, you hear big concerts, you go to the camping site, you listen to bangers on the speakers. And then I think dancing is kind of like cleaning. You wake up and then you need to like wash your mind and then you go and see a dance show. It's something maybe not everybody does. Like we said, you don't go to the theater and watch it. Here it's accessible for the ones who are here for the music, which is maybe opening up something people didn't know they needed.
And if we going back to your piece, it's called Rusalka.
Yeah.
And it's built around a myth.
It's a real myth. Yep. It's something I've learned and was told when I was younger by my mother. And maybe if I translate it into something we know, it's like the boogeyman somehow.
It reminds me of a myth I've heard about, which is a Greenlandic myth, where people are being dragged into the ocean.
Yeah.
Think there's something about hair, maybe being a mother of sea mother.
I think it's translated differently in different cultures around the world. In this one specific, it's a female character seducing men with her beauty, kind of. She's like this beautiful creature and her frenetic dancing. So it's like this really intense dancing, and then she lures them closer. And the closer they come, her face distorts. And then she pulls them down and drags them down to the water. Her hair kind of entangles them so they can't pull up, and she's really slippery. She steals them and she kills them. Men, only men.
Men only. So everybody who watches the performance tonight, step back a little bit.
Exactly, step back.
So that's a Kosovo-Albanian myth?
It's Slavic, actually. So and Kosovo isn't Slavic, but it's still something that was told to me because it's close. And it's been translated in many ways. And then I went with the Slavic name, Ruzalka.
I think that's super interesting. It's curious. It's also sort of rhymes with some of the stories of the sort of Nordic folklore.
Yeah.
We have these sort of people who live in the hills. The Elverpia is girls who's like elf girls type beings that lure people underground.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sirens, mermaids.
Yes, that's true.
That's like, it's maybe like that.
I look really forward. I really want to wish you a great performance. It's so exciting to see what happens tonight in the open stage. The stage is this kind of very open place. Hopefully people will drop in and from all corners.
Yeah, you're all welcome. So please come.
Thank you very much, Thursia.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
This was Faisal Mostrix with Transitions, playing tonight at 2 o'clock at Gaia.
What a wonderful track.
And what a wonderful concert it will definitely be.
It sounds like it.
We are at the end of our broadcast.
We are, and we are at the end of the Lake Radio's contribution to this year's Roskilde Festival. We will end this broadcast in a few minutes. And if you come home and feel like you're re-listening to some of these interviews and some of all these segments that we've been broadcasting during the week, you can go into your podcast app and write the Lake Radio, and then you will find a lot of good stuff from during the week.
And we should extend our thanks to Roskilde Festival for inviting us, to all the amazing artists who've come by the Container Studio and who we've met with on the festival, and of course to the other radio stations sharing this space with us.
Thank you for this year. And Frederik, what are you going to do with the rest of the night?
Well, tonight at 1, I will be at Arena, where Medina will play. And I think that's how we should leave this broadcast, with Medina and Jalousie. See you there tonight, everyone.
Hun har langt lyst hår og fregner. Hendes øjne skinner smuk som diamanter. Flotte lange ben og det rigtige tøj på. Og sikkert pengepungen fyldt med guldkontanter. Når hun snakker, lytter alle efter. For hun er sjov, og alle kigger kun på hende. Som en engel sendt fra helvedes flammer, tager hun dig stille væk fra mig. Men jeg er da ligeglad, jeg er da ligeglad. Det er sådan, jeg kommer bedst igennem det her nu. Ja, jeg er da ligeglad, jeg er da ligeglad. Det er sådan, jeg har det bedst, bare at jeg kunne være ligeglad. Jeg er da ligeglad. Jeg ved, jeg burde stole på, du virkelig har mig. Ikke ligeglad, ikke ligeglad. For jeg føler, hun er mere spændende end mig. I går, der så jeg vand dine øjne glode, da hun gik forbi og smilte sødt til os to. Hun sagde hej og vinkede på en meget sød måde. Selv jeg blev fanget i at være lidt betalt. Det gør mig sindssygt, hun bare at smile, når jeg ved, hvor populær hos ham hun er. Som en engel sendt fra helvedes flammer, så fucker hun mig langsomt op. Men jeg er da ligeglad, jeg er da ligeglad. Det er sådan, jeg kommer bedst.
Jealousy. Me is one of the few men who believe in my mess. Why the teacher didn't tell us to believe in our own mess? Why the teacher didn't tell us that the pee what we pee is water that we drink? Why the teacher never tell us that the filth that we feel is the food that we eat? So when we want idea, me ask me pee-pee, me pee, and ask me dee-dee. While going on with my pee-pee tell me, then believe in my mess.
Give it up. chosen men were sent to do the will of one. His claim was phrased quite simply, though he never voiced it loud. I am he, the chosen one. Slaughter, for his name they could die. Many there were believed in him, still more were sure he lied. But he'll fight the battle on. Then one whose faith had died fled back up the mountainside. But before the top was made, misplaced footfall made him stray. The father prepared for him off of the mountain onto a wilderness of ice. This unexpected vision made him stand and shake with fear. Saw him appear, terror filled their minds with awe. Simple were the folk who lived upon this frozen way. So not surprising was their thought, this is he, God's chosen one, who's come to save us from all our oppressors. We shall be kings on this world. We'll be right back.
Thank you. drugs van onze naasten in de straat. Wij willen drugs terug, wat de Europese Unie ons ontnomen heeft. Wij willen drugs van onze naasten. Wij willen drugs voor onze naasten in de straat. Wij willen drugs terug, wat de Europese Unie ons ontnomen heeft. Wij willen drugs voor onze naasten. Wij willen drugs terug, wat de Europese Unie ons ontnomen heeft.